Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia,
alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a distinct pleasure for my wife Shelley and I to be with you here this morning receiving God's gifts in word and sacrament, and also telling you a little bit about our journey to Spain, where I have been called to serve as a church planter. The day-to-day content of this first part of my missionary call is raising prayer and financial support by going around preaching and presenting to Lutherans in America in order to find the people God will raise up to partner with the Lutherans in Spain. So as I stand before you this morning, I have a question to ask of your pastor. Reverend Dr. Richard, what kind of mission texts are these? The Lord's lovely vineyard yields wild grapes? So God is going to remove the protective hedge and allow the vineyard to be destroyed? God seeks justice, but behold bloodshed. God looks for righteousness, but behold an outcry. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. And finally, from the very mouth of our Lord, "The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." Where's the happiness? Where's the word of the Lord growing, rejoicing in the Lord always, the sweetness and light passages? Where's the bold commission text, the fearless servants bravely entering into the field of the earth? Come on, Pastor Matt, this is what you gave me to work with. I'm kidding. The readings are not your pastor's fault. Indeed, they are not anyone's fault. Taking what the lectionary, the reading system of the church year, gives to us is a good thing. For pastors to pick their own readings is a dangerous thing because we all have the parts of the Bible we like and the parts we like to avoid. But we need to hear the full counsel of God, not just our favorite passages or our pastor's favorites. Using the assigned lectionary readings is a good thing. And despite the harshness they contain, today's readings are excellent texts for understanding God's mission and our role within His mission. Because there is a necessary harshness, a brokenness even, to being involved in the mission of God. What comes to mind when you hear the word mission? Maybe you think first of helping people. Certainly, Jesus helped people. We are in the middle of a series of readings all set during Holy Week, the days between Palm Sunday and Good Friday, as Jesus headed right to his cross. Jesus does a number of things during Holy Week which heighten the anger of the religious elite, including riding into Jerusalem on a donkey like a king, and accepting the praises of children, and telling very pointed parables against the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees, as he did today. But back at the beginning of Matthew chapter 21, if you look there, you'll also notice that right after he came into the city, Jesus also was healing the lame and the blind. Helping people in need has always gone hand in hand with God's mission. In fact, my new boss, Reverend Ted Cray, Area Director for Latin American and Spanish Missions, and also a missionary pastor in the Dominican Republic, wants every church within his mission area to also have a mercy house. In the Dominican, the mercy house is a home for developmentally disabled youth. In other places, it might be a school for the poor or an orphanage. In Spain, we are going to be looking for opportunities to pursue life ministries, as my wife Shelley has years of experience serving women facing crisis pregnancies. This is how it should be. Christ, in his earthly ministry, was always caring for the sick and the hurting. So Christians share his concern for helping people in their earthly needs. But helping people with their earthly hurts and needs is not the heart of mission. Jesus healed many sick and lame and blind, but these healings did not save their souls. So also, while Christian mission is rightly accompanied by human earthly care, and while serving our neighbors is an important way that we earn opportunities to tell them about Jesus, God's mission finally requires something different. In fact, true Christian mission even requires some harshness, scandal even, an offense. God's mission is centered on a rock that either breaks you or pulverizes you, a stone of stumbling and offense, of scandal, certainly harsh. In fact, as strange as it may seem, Jesus is doing mission work as he verbally attacks the elders and chief priests and Pharisees. This is the harsh part of mission work, the preaching of the law. In this case, the declaration of the truth that these religious leaders were in truth working against God's mission. Despite their outward religious appearance, the Pharisees, elders, and chief priests of the Jews all rejected God's way of salvation. They were fine with a certain amount of helping their neighbor and very happy to go about appearing law-abiding and pious, making a show of setting a good example. And they thought that they were very much a part of God's mission when they did these things. But no, says Jesus, they are the wicked tenants who have abused God's vineyard, abused their positions of authority in his church, and have rejected the central point of God's mission of salvation, the offense of the cross. When prophets speaking God's truth came to Israel, calling them away from their sin, again and again, the people of Israel, elders and people together, rejected this message and abused the messengers. Being a prophet to God's people was never an easy calling. And as in all things, Jesus is the greatest prophet, God's final word to his people and the world. So the Jewish religious leaders reject him most of all. Jesus is the rejected stone of Psalm 118, which becomes the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. He is the scandal. In Jesus, God fully reveals the central mystery of his plan of salvation. And this mystery is one we sinners quite naturally reject. Yes, it's not just the chief priests and Pharisees. We all like to sidestep, ignore, or outright reject the scandal that is Jesus, because it is unpopular with the world, or maybe because of what it says about us. The fact that saving sinners like you and me required the unjust execution of the sinless Son of God is crushing news to our spiritual egos. But it is the truth, a truth without which we cannot be ready for the gospel. And so we see that Jesus is the rock. He will either break you or he will pulverize you. Jesus said, "The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is his warning to the chief priests, scribes, and elders, to anyone who is proudly confident that by their own contributions and efforts and goodness, they are earning their place in the kingdom of God. If you persist in your self-righteous, stubborn resistance to the cornerstone, says Jesus, you will be crushed. But then the alternative to being crushed doesn't sound that much better. The alternative is to be broken, but then restored. That is, every one of us must be broken on the rock that is Christ in order to be restored and brought into the kingdom. For we're all sinners, naturally opposed to God and his way. To complete his mission of salvation, God must break us from our love of sin. Consider Peter, broken by his threefold denial as the rooster crowed, broken by his inability to follow Jesus to the cross as he had promised. Or consider Paul, an enemy and persecutor of the church, broken by the light, the blinding appearance of Christ to him on the road to Damascus, asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Consider Martin Luther torturing himself in a monk's cell, trying to earn the favor of God until the word of God broke through, revealing that God gives righteousness as a free gift, received by faith for Jesus' sake. As for all these famous Christians, so also for you and for me. We must be broken of our complacency or out of our pride and self-assurance. We must be broken from our habit of loving earthly pleasures more than God and his word. We must be broken of our love of sin. We all must be broken by the law, both at conversion and throughout our earthly lives, broken so that with his good news, with his gospel of forgiveness and mercy, Jesus can restore you to wholeness and present you to his Father, whole and blameless, beloved. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, which is a building made of living stones. Sinners who have been broken but are now restored, made new, and joined to Jesus. And as in all things, Jesus leads the way. For he has already given himself into brokenness in our place. Jesus is the one man who had nothing to be broken for, the one who had no sin for which to suffer. But out of love for his Father, and out of love for us sinners, Jesus chose to be broken, even crushed, by all our sin, the sin which requires our death and punishment. Jesus, the sinless one, the Son of the Master of the vineyard, Jesus, Almighty God, become a man, was crushed, becoming the sinner in your place, body broken and blood shed on his cross in order to restore you with free and full forgiveness. You are forgiven. All your sins are washed away in Jesus' blood. This is the mission of God, restoring broken humanity through the once broken but now resurrected body of the Son, Jesus Christ. The cornerstone is now set. Jesus Christ, the head of his body, the church now rules over heaven and earth. By his Spirit, he now empowers his mission, which takes this marvelous doing of the Lord out into the world, proclaiming peace between God and sinners. And when God has brought us through the harsh things, then there is great joy. Being caught up and involved in God's mission is wonderful, amazing. It is the best thing in the world. It is also the one thing in this world that lasts forever. The gift of righteousness and eternal salvation delivered to a sinner today by the power of the Word of God. This is the message that God has called Pastor Richard to preach to you here. This is also the message that I have been called to preach in Spain, a land that very desperately needs to hear this truth. For in Spain, the way of the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, the way of human pride and human accomplishment, the way of human works required to complete salvation, this false way is sadly the way the Christian faith has been presented for centuries. Spaniards, through their history, have been taught a very works-righteous misunderstanding of Christianity. They are very much in need of the pure gospel, and since 2000, the Lutheran Church of Argentina, with support from our LCMS, has been proclaiming it. The Lutheran mission in Spain is small and very spread out. But Lutheran mission is there, and people are hungry for more good news. My particular task in Spain is to come alongside the first Lutheran Spanish pastor, Juan Carlos Garcia, in Sevilla. I'm very much looking forward to working with him to reach out with the gospel in Seville and then see God grow his church. But first, my work is finding partners, Lutherans in America who want to partner with the Lutherans in Spain and see the gospel grow there. God will raise up the partners he has in mind, prayer partners and financial partners. My wife and I are very thankful for the commitment you have already made to work to this work as a congregation. As we rejoice in our shared restoration, I ask you to ask God how much more he might want you involved. Are you feeling a desire to be more involved in God's mission? Being involved is pretty straightforward. Step one, be fed, be filled. As you are doing today, hear the word. Receive God's absolution. Take, eat, and drink for the forgiveness of all your sins. Be filled with the gospel, for this is how God prepares his people to be of service in his mission. When you are filled to overflowing with the good news of God's love in Christ, his Spirit then moves you to be a part of giving that gift to others. Step one, be filled, and keep doing step one. The more you are filled with the gospel, the more you will be ready to be involved in God's mission. Step two, attend to your congregation's mission first. Zion Lutheran Church is God's mission in this place. For God is always working through congregations, pastors, and people together. Step two, attend to home first. Step three, look beyond. Ask God how you can best be connected to his efforts to proclaim law and gospel to a world so much in need of his truth and love. By your invitation for Shelley and I to join you today, and by the prayers and commitments you have already offered, you are already doing step three. I will go to Spain as your missionary, and that is an honor. What more might God want to do through you for Spain? As we move forward together in service within God's mission, first, last, and always, rejoice in the righteousness of Christ that God has given you. Rejoice that Christ has made you his own. Marvel at the stone that the builders rejected, who has become your cornerstone. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep.